This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We are on Monday's edition of Baseball Outside the Box, the Volunteer Coaches Show. This is a show for volunteer baseball coaches in the U.S. and all over the world, and it is another great show it's going to be. It's our second one so far. We did one last Monday. This is our second one, the second Monday in a row, and we will continue to do the series every Monday where we interview volunteers all over the country, all over the world, and ask them questions of things that maybe they struggle with. We ask them advice on things they do really well, that they've had success with their teams, and it's a great educational show. We're also live on Facebook. We're already seeing Richard Hahn and Zuniga Gonzalez joining us on Facebook Live. Welcome. Don't forget, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Before we begin, we're all over social media. Our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. We're also Twitter at Baseball Out. Don't forget, join us, you know, link with us on Twitter, ask us questions. We've got all kinds of videos, all kinds of things that we put on there. Videos, tips on baseball, so follow us. Email me anytime you want at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. Special thanks to the Lineup Media Group who actually host our show, with our producer, Brian Kroc, on the other side. We want to thank them also. This is going to be a great show. Don't forget, before we begin also, when you go to Baseball Outside the Box, you can order my 5-set instructional DVD specifically for volunteer baseball coaches anywhere in the world. It will help you run an extremely fun, organized practice. It has over 100 drills, games, and skills that you could utilize in your practice. So check it out on baseballoutsidethebox.com. You can order them right on the website. And don't forget, go to it is my youth baseball drills book. Go to humankinetics.com. You could order it there. There's over 100 drills in that book, and we've gotten great results from the book. We've got a lot of emails. Pete Silvestri, great to see you on the show. John Burbank also. Pete Silvestri, former mayor of Elmwood Park, now I believe on the Cook County Commissioner's Office. Welcome to the show. It is Baseball Outside the Box Live. So now we are ready to begin the show with our second volunteer baseball coach that we are going to interview. And as I always said, volunteer baseball coaches are the foundation of our sport. That's where the sport's going to grow, get bigger, stronger, where kids are going to get better. It is also the largest coaches group anywhere in the world. They may not be organized as an association, but they are the foundation of our sport. So we want to welcome right now, we're going to welcome Norm Ordaz, and let me tell you a little bit about him. He's from Oregon. He is a 20-plus year coach with ages 5 to 18 years old. Rod Carabot, welcome, my good friend, to Baseball Outside the Box. You're live on Facebook. I can see also Terry Chandler. Good to see you live on Facebook. Norm, he also coaches his nephews 5 and 8 years old. God bless him. That is outstanding. He's also the field supervisor for McMinnville Parks and Recreations in Oregon. This gentleman has a lot of experience with volunteer coaches, as also as a volunteer coach. So let me welcome to the show, Norm. How are you?
Hey, Coach. Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, it's great to have you on the show all the way in Oregon. We are spreading this show all over the U.S. and also around the world. I just want to start off with thanking you for being on the show, and then let's get right into it. Tell us a little bit about, I believe you're before we start the show, we want to discuss a couple issues, a very serious issue, I should say.
A couple suicides
that have occurred, one in the baseball family. If you can talk about that, and then we'll get ready with the show.
So first off, John Reinacre, a former Major League pitcher with the Texas Rangers. I came across John around 2001 as a minor leaguer playing in the Oakland A's organization, and great guy. Rhino committed suicide. Found out this morning that he had committed suicide. Also, now Chester Bennington, lead singer of Linkin Park, committed suicide today as well. And those are just two of the names. I know that there are many, many more out there that did it today as well. But, you know, just want to say that we are always trying to demonstrate that someone is always listening. If you have an issue, if you are feeling that you're at the end, please, please call 1-800-273-8255. Suicide awareness. You know, somebody out there cares.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to mention that again. A suicide awareness hotline, 1-800-273-8255. We're also going to place it on our show notes for people to see. Look, I know life can be really tough, but man, if we can help you, call that hotline before you make any decisions. I had a former player who committed suicide, my mentor, his son when he was 21 years old, a happy-go-lucky kid, and unfortunately committed suicide, and it was just devastating, not only the team, his parents. So our condolences, our prayers to the families. We can see, remember, we are also live on Facebook. If you have any questions, just type them on at the bottom of the sheet. I see where John Roush, Will Rosalini, and also Herb Furkenbrock joined the show. Welcome, everybody. Norm, let's get started. Let's talk about what you do right now. Your season just ended. Tell us about the season, how it went. And let's start with maybe some of the areas that went really well for you. You know, the age that you were coaching and some of the struggles that, because as coaches, we all have struggles. Sometimes we Absolutely. Don't want to admit them. But tell us a little bit about that.
So my job with the McMinnville Parks and Recreation is quite vast. So not only am I a field supervisor, but I also coach coaches and to get better, you know, not only coaching, you know, my two nephews who are 5 and 8, and then, you know, I also prep ball fields. And so, you know, the season was amazing. the T-ballers, you know, basically, it was just teach them to grip it and rip it and, you know, let them get comfortable with swinging the bat and catching the ball. You know, one of the drills at that age that I really love doing is having the parents bring a glove to practice. And the parents will warm up their sons. And awesome. That is like my opener of practice. And so, you know, so it, you know, instills, you know, playing catch with a parent, gets the parents involved. And the more the parents are involved, the more on board with what you're doing that they enjoy. And my eight-year-old nephew, minors, second and third grade, man, I'll tell you what, it was a great season, but in all, it was also a rough season. The kids improved so much. The thing that we're having issues with is keeping the kids into the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know here within the McMinnville Parks and Rec system, you know, it used to be where second graders age 8, they played down at the rookie level, which was, you know, you got 4 tosses, the kid pitches 4 pitches, and then the coach assumes the count. And so, you know, 4 pitches, you got 2-2, coach comes in for a coach toss and assumes the count. Games go a little bit faster. Smaller field. Issue we're running into is we're putting those second graders and 8-year-olds on a bigger field, and it's not really working. And I think in the end we're going to go back to the old system of smaller fields, have our 3rd and 4th graders together. You know, they're just not able to stay focused for the entire game yet.
Yeah, Norm, you know what? You've hit on several extremely important topics. One, I want to commend you and also the McMinnville Parks and Recreations there in Oregon, because you brought up, I'm going to take it just one at a time here. One, you brought up the coaches coaching. You know, I'm a big believer that if the game's going to grow, you know, and kids are going to develop, get a little better in the game, when they get better, they're individually going to become a little successful. That's when they have fun. And that's when they'll stay in the game longer. Well, the people that are going to allow them to do that and help them do this is our volunteer coaches. So I love to hear that Absolutely. You're working with the coaches, because without that, we don't have a sport if we don't have volunteer coaches. The other thing right. I want The other thing I wanted to mention was the other thing I loved was your parent warm-up because, you know, especially in T-ball, you know, they can't throw at each other yet. And obviously it's important that parents are involved in the development of the sport. And by you having the parents there, you're coaching them also. They're learning. Now they can go back home and play catch with them every day at home for a few minutes. And that's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, not just fun, but it's, you know, it's part of, you know, being with your kids. It's
right. People,
you know, parents enjoy that. So I think those are two great issues. And then the other part I wanted to bring up was the issues about the fields. I agree with you. One of the things I think baseball needs to do, now I'm going to back up with T-ball. T-ball can be fun, and sometimes T-ball games are tough because it is tough to keep the kids interested. You know, I look at hockey. Hockey went to a smaller rink. You know, science has shown us, and I don't know why we need science, but science has shown us that the more kids touch a puck, a baseball, a tennis ball, whatever it may be, the more they touch the ball, the more fun they have.
Absolutely. And,
you know, if obviously they're waiting for a youngster to hit a ball off a tee, sometimes that takes a long time. The outfielders are really bored. That's not keeping their attention. The other part, and we brought this up in the last show, so I don't want to get into it too much, but the other part is sometimes I think with T-ball, you know, we need to split it up a little bit. It's almost like we can have three different groups. I want to welcome on Facebook Chris Cummings and also Sergio Borges Jr., the son of Sergio Borges, a good friend of mine with the Copabe. Welcome on the show. Hey, listen, and what I was mentioning about T-ball was sometimes what we need to do is split, you know, if you got 12 kids, we need to split them up in a few groups. You know, one group should be working on some skills, fun drills that they're doing, so you only have four or five kids or four kids. You know, the other group may be playing T-ball game by making the field smaller, like you said earlier. I mean, those are the things that help. And another thing that we found to be successful, and we mentioned this on the last show, but I think it's important mentioning over and over because T-ball can be tough. You know, maybe before T-ball or I don't know where it falls in, but we use a lot of wiffle ball bats with wiffle balls and big bats because, you know, at that age, they have a hard time swinging a regular bat. It doesn't matter how light it is. But a wiffle ball, man, they could swing all day. You bring 10 or 12 of those to the field, you know, parents could be tossing the wiffle balls and the kids are hitting them. Other kids are getting them. There's a lot more excitement going on. So, you know, that's just something I wanted to mention. But I do want to continue because you brought up some great points, and I want to ask you, I didn't realize you were working with T-ballers. God bless you. What do you do? What do you do to help our T-ballers out there? What do you do to, you mentioned one, playing, you know, catch with the parents. What else do you do to make it fun for the T-ballers to keep them interactive more so that way they're more interested?
That's the key, is keeping it fun. And not only for the T-ballers, but for all of them. And, you know, in a lot of cases, baseball is a dying sport because, you know, a kid loses interest at a certain point. You know, coach puts him on the end of the bench. What we do here in McMinnville with T-ball is we play three innings. And so it's kind of a hybrid of T-ball and coach pitch. And so usually the first two innings, we'll have him hit off the tee. The third inning, coach will toss it to him, and then, you know, the kids will put it into play. But what I found my team doing is I'm known for, in McMinnville Parks and Rec, having the largest coaching staffs. Number one, I believe in parent involvement, and I will have six or seven assistant coaches helping me out. I like to call them co-coaches. And so whether it's my brother-in-law or a guy I coached with 20 years ago, you know, I bring them in, and that enables me to split them up into smaller groups. And so for T-ball, a smaller group would be like, you know, like you said, hitting wiffle balls. You know, I don't necessarily look at the footwork or where they're putting their hands necessarily. I want to encourage them to swing the bat at this point. They're new to the game. You know, encouraging them to swing the bat is what we need to do. And so we've got years down the line to start correcting the footwork and, you know, and everything else.
Absolutely. You know, and then let me mention real quick. The other thing is what we throw in there sometimes when they're playing catch, you know, because, you know, when they throw a glove on there, the hands don't really know how to form. You know, what we do a lot of times, we use beanbags because beanbags, they can toss them back and forth, you know, and catch the beanbag with both hands, and it forms around their hands, and they start to understand how the hand works a little bit.
Yep. And so, we'll, like I said, we'll do wiffle ball. I'll have a coach do a base running drills, and so we literally run the bases forward and backwards.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and the reason why I do it, you know, I mean, my kids don't get confused when they're running bases. And so people will look at me, well, why do you have them running the bases backwards? You know, I mean, we run them in reverse, and, you know, it helps the thought process out a little bit, helps them learn a little faster.
Now, when you say reverse, you mean them running in reverse or running the bases in reverse?
Running the bases in reverse.
Gotcha.
Yep. And so, and then we'll have a fielding station. Where we, you know, gently teach them, you know, fielding ground balls and get them used to, you know, fielding ground balls and then trying to throw the ball properly. Of course, you know, they're 4, 5, and 6 years old, so it's a lot like herding cats. But it really is. But man, you know, I was really surprised on how successful my boys were. By at the end of the year, mid-season, we were using the tee in the first inning only. And then we would hit coach toss in the second and third. And then toward the end of the season, we weren't using the tee. And everybody, I had a roster of 12, and all 12 kids were hitting off the coach.
Yeah, that's great.
And so
just going to mention, you are live on Facebook and also on Baseball Outside the Box podcast. We are on with Norm Ordaz. He is a coach, volunteer coach for 20-plus years with 5 to 18-year-olds. He's in Oregon. He's also a supervisor, field supervisor for McMinnville Parks and Recs. We started off talking about T-ball because it just happened to flow into that area. And I like a lot of things that Norm's doing. If you're listening, you're new to the show, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com, join the podcast, and you'll get updates all the time about all the shows that are coming up. We've got two types of shows. We've got the one that airs every Monday with volunteer coaches, and then the one that airs every Thursday with where we bring in experts from all over the world in the game of baseball development. Don't forget, go to our Twitter at baseballout and send us, you know, join our Twitter. So that way we're connected. Send us messages. We'll get back to you. Our email, baseballoutsidethebox.com, info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. We're also right now live on Facebook. If you've got any questions, please write them at the bottom of the screen. We'll be glad to answer your questions. Rolando de Armas, very professional baseball coach, Team USA, the Olympics. Welcome on Baseball Outside the Box. Good to see you, Rolando. Raul Omar Lopez joined the show. Welcome, everybody. You're live on Facebook with Pete Caliendo, Baseball Outside the Box. Norm, a couple of things you mentioned. I love it. You mentioned the coaches in T-ball tossing the ball, you know, after a couple innings, you switch from the tee to toss. How's that toss occur? Is it underhand, overhand? Are the coaches on one knee? Are they standing up?
Beginning of the year, we'll go underhand, and then we're on one knee. And then mid-season, then we'll start kind of gearing them up for the kind of a dart toss overhand in practice, and then that's the way we end.
Okay,
we kind of just slowly bring them into that, and then we, you know, mid-season practices, we'll switch the look a little bit and then go overhand.
All right, so you've got some development where you're gradually going into the development of the game, so that way, you know, their success increases, let's say, as they go. Now, the other thing you mentioned is you got parents playing catch with the kids. Rolando, I got you. How are you? You got parents playing with the kids. And when they're playing, you know, the other thing when they're doing that, are they rolling ground balls to the kids too? Because if you got a parent for every kid, that's a lot of work and that's a lot of fun for the kids.
It is. And we do a little bit of everything. And so we'll do a couple of, couple of minutes of the soft toss and then couple of minutes of working on the ground balls and then maybe throwing a couple of fly balls in there. But mainly just the soft toss and working on some of the ground balls.
Super. And now let me ask you, during the season in games, in T-ball, what are some of the issues about the games that maybe the kids don't like that we need to change in the game possibly that could help other coaches around the world and also in the U.S. playing T-ball?
T-ball, you know, like I said, T-ball is kind of like herding cats. And, you know, you're dealing with 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds. And so the attention spans are going to be short. So you got to keep it short. You know, our games are 3 innings. Our practices, my practices generally go for 45 minutes. And I'll spend like maybe 15 minutes of it instruction. And then half an hour, we'll set up a game. And I'll put coaches in the outfield, coaches in the field. With the kids, I'll bring up a couple of kids. Everybody gets to swing the bat at bat 3 or 4 different times, and we'll rotate them, explain the different positions, explain what they do, and we try to keep it short.
Awesome. So you're really breaking it up. Short, fun, right to the point, and you just keep rotating these guys. Now, how about in games? What's the struggle in games? I know keeping their attention in games is tough. Why is that? Is there too many kids you know, on the field? Can that be 2 games going on at one time? How do you think that can happen?
Well, the nice thing about McMinnville Parks and Rec, we try to keep the T-ball rosters small. And so we try to keep them around 10 or 11. I took on 12 this year because I'm considered one of the more experienced coaches, and I've been trained in how to deal with, like, the extra players. And mm-hmm. so... You know, yeah, just, you know, make sure they're keeping their hat on. Keep them engaged in the game. And so what we do is we put a couple of coaches in the field with them when they're out in the field. And so I'll have a coach kind of on the, you know, the cusp of the outfield and infield, and then one in the outfield. And, you know, if I need to, I'll wander out there. And, you know, we're always explaining, you know, because you always got the kids wanting to run to the ball.
Yeah.
And so you'll have the center fielder running to a ground ball to the pitcher.
Yep.
And so, we teach kind of zones, and, you know, we kind of go through them, you know, okay, this is the pitcher. You know, this is what a pitcher does when you get older. This is the ground. This is a territory that you're going to be covering.
Right.
And so it's a constant. You have to constantly remind them. But, you know, at the end of the year – We had really good success with it. The other teams, there was a couple of teams that had some success, but, you know, there's a lot of coaches that want to do it alone, and you can't be afraid to ask for help. In fact, you need, for these kids' benefit, you need help.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm going to be honest with you. This is just my opinion. I'm not a big fan of T-ball. But, you know, when you're going to have T-ball, the way you're doing it sounds really exciting, a lot more fun, a lot more things happening. And that's not the case around the U.S., around the world. I've been to T-ball games, and I've been to T-ball practice, and they certainly don't do a lot of stuff you're talking about. That's why we do this type of show. I want to welcome Bill McDonald, Sandra Chang. How are you? Mike Robles. You're on Facebook Live with Baseball Outside the Box, Monday's edition, the Youth Baseball Coaches Talk. We are interviewing Norm Ordaz. We're talking about some of the things that he does, you know, real well with his kids in T-ball right now, but also some of the things that, you know, that he may struggle with, that other people struggle all over the world. My friend Ralph Santana from the Southern Illinois Miners. We travel together to Cuba. Great teacher, instructor, professional, played pro baseball. Good to see you on live. Give my friend Mike Pinto a hello if he's with you. Hopefully you guys are doing well tonight. Must be a rain out, because I know we're getting a lot of rain in Chicago, so Southern Illinois must be getting rain, or you guys are playing somewhere else. Norm, let's do this. You know, I do want to mention to some of the people out there that are listening, you know, when you've got young kids, remember a couple things with young kids, especially with baseballs. You know, a lot of the baseballs are a little bit too big, so sometimes they have to grip it with the whole hand. And, you know, coaches, make sure that, you know, the most important thing is that the thumb is underneath the ball, because, you know, they're going to have to use the whole hand. And the other thing is, real simple, you know, before they throw a baseball, they're going to have to turn their bodies completely sideways to throw a ball, so they use their whole body. So just a little mention there for coaches. Now, Norm, while we were off the air, we talked a little bit about the game is evolving. It's changing in several ways. The game of baseball is still the same, but the outside atmosphere is a little different. And we were talking about travel baseball, because I'm familiar with travel baseball a great deal, and I get it. Like any other level, and that's even at the major league level, or pro ball or college, you've got some good things and you got some not so good things.
Absolutely.
You're involved up there. Tell us about travel baseball and some of the maybe good things, and then tell us some of the things that, you know, need to be improved in travel baseball.
So, you know, I come from a Parks and Rec background, and so I don't do traveling baseball, but we have Junior Baseball of Oregon, which is a great organization. And, you know, don't get me wrong, travel baseball has its place. I'm not a big fan of travel baseball personally. It gets, you know, it gets way too political. You lose kids in the process. You know, there are great ball players that are roaming around the city of McMinnville that aren't playing anymore because they got burned out for one reason or another, or a coach burned them, you know. And, you know, I'm seeing Parks and Rec wise, I'm seeing more kids coming back into the Parks and Rec program from the travel baseball because of, you know, it's a winner, pretty much it's a winner all else deal.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, when travel baseball, do you guys have several levels of travel baseball there, or is it just one level and everybody plays, you know, at that level?
We have, so JBO has, they have like American, National, and Federal. There's like four or five different levels, like midget, senior. And so Federal is like the top level in a division. American is like second, and then National is the lowest. And so what we're seeing here is we're seeing it's a money grab in mm-hmm. in some cases. So, you know, JBO, you know, they want to have as many teams as possible, and they'll send them out to tournaments and stuff. But, you know, in the end, you've got, you know, a dozen to maybe a dozen and a half kids who don't necessarily belong at the travel baseball level. They belong at the Parks and Rec level, yeah, where they could actually, you know, really succeed. And but yet they're sitting at the end of benches. They're getting their one or two innings of playing time. You know, some of these kids are playing a year or two and getting out.
Yeah, and you know what? And then you brought up some good points. And here in the Midwest also, we've got a lot of travel programs. I've got some great friends who run some great travel programs. There's really a lot of good ones. And then there's some that are not as good. And I think parents and coaches that are out there, you need to understand that the travel baseball has a place. You know, if it's going to be for the elite players, then understand, let the elite players be at that level. And be realistic, because if you're 13 years old, you're still developing. If you're 15, you're still developing. Just because you're not playing travel baseball doesn't mean you're not going to get any better.
Right.
So, Let the elite players play at that level and be realistic as best as you can. And for the coaches that run travel programs, my advice is this, and science has shown it. It's going to continue. Kids are going to continue to get hurt if we're not practicing. And what's happening in the Midwest a little bit is that we're playing a lot of games and there's very little practice. You know, the good ones, they practice, and that's why you're seeing them get better and better. But the ones that aren't getting good are the ones that are not practicing. And the other issue is going to be injuries, because when there's no practice during the season, I get a lot of responses. They'll say, well, we're practicing in the winter. Well, the winter's great, but it's not going to carry over into July and August. You know, when young kids are not physically strong yet, they're going to get weaker during the season, and they need to maintain not only their strength, flexibility, and other things, but they also need to maintain their fundamentals. So you've got to hold some practices where they're taking ground balls, where they're hitting a little bit, where they're doing some mechanical work, where they're doing their bands, where they're doing all kinds of stuff that's keeping their mechanics going, so that way they don't get injured. So there are ways to do it really well if they want to, and I think the good ones do it. And there is a place for travel baseball, as we mentioned, but, you know, we just got to make sure right now it's not, there's no governing body that really controls it. So guys can kind of do whatever they want. And that's when you have the issue of, you know, I don't have an issue with charging, because, you know, it's okay to charge, but what are you giving for that fee that you're charging? You know, are you just giving games and tournaments? Well, you know, pretty much anybody can do that. But what else are you offering? The good ones offer a lot more.
Baseball instruction.
Yeah, and they're very concerned with what that youngster's development is going on. And I think sometimes they need to be honest with some of those kids and parents and say, you're just not ready for travel ball, but don't worry about it. You know, continue to work. And again, you know, kids have played baseball, you know, that have been in in-house leagues, that played in the big leagues. And that you, just because you travel ball doesn't mean you're going to go into college baseball. So I think we need to work more in that area. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with the show and with, you know, everything that, you know, our advice all over the the U.S. Hopefully, it'll get a little bit better. Norm, I also want to mention, I want to talk to you about this. You've been coaching guys, you know, you mentioned T-ball. That just ended, right?
Yep.
And now you've got, you know, you've also had players 5 to 18.
Yeah, I also coached my 8-year-old nephew, and so he played second and third grade ball this year, minors. And, you know, the thing that we're finding there is the paying attention and just keeping in the games. We play 6 innings. You know, we have an hour and 45-minute time limit. You know, we have a run rule. But, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we got second graders playing with third graders, which is fine and dandy, but the field is too big for those second graders. And so, you know, they should be playing down on a smaller field. And that's something that we're addressing here in McMinnville. That's the way it used to be, was third and fourth grade play together, fifth and sixth grade. But, you know, because of numbers, we kind of had to do some switching and stuff like that.
Sure. Now we've got coaches, we got coaches and players that are listening out there. Sometimes you're going to have situations where, and Paulino Cruz, welcome, Gary Rudin, welcome. But you're going to have situations where, you know, like you mentioned, a youngster, he's younger, you know, they're still developing, maybe a year younger. Those players, you know, during games, you know, they're going to have to make some adjustments, and you know. And I get that a lot sometimes. Now, obviously, if it's a safety issue, that's one thing. Then he shouldn't be playing at all with that age group. But if he's going to make adjustments, you know, players need to understand, you know, I didn't have the best skills, but at the same time, I made adjustments where I played in a little bit more, or I got a better jump, or I read the ball off the bat better if I was playing defense. I didn't have the arm strength the other guy had. So I had to make certain things. I had to learn the game a little bit more. And coaches, you need to also understand – you know, players at that age need to move around a little bit. The key to players that age group is that, can they play catch really well? Can they field really well? If they can do those things, then they can move around to different positions and you could place them according to their skill level. Now, obviously, you don't want a kid catching if he can't catch and he's scared to catch. First base could be a tough position to move a player to. But when you're talking about other positions, it's all about fielding, catch, and throw, and that doesn't change at that level till they get older.
Here's what we do. And so my philosophy when it comes to like the second and third graders, my philosophy is every kid plays an infield and outfield position during the game. We do not sit players back-to-back innings. And, you know, we try to, you know, equal it out as much as we can. Pitching and catching in first base, that's a little bit different. You know, if we feel that, you know, a kid is ready to pitch, you know, we'll ask him, you know, if he would want to pitch. And, you know, we do use pitch counts here in McMinnville. We use a 45 for our age. It's 45. But very seldom do we ever hit that, you know, because the arm starts getting tired, usually about between 28 pitches and maybe 32, 33 pitches. And so – you know, we'll cut a kid off at 35 and bring in another one. And you know, we're known for pitching 4, 5, 6 guys in a game.
That's awesome. You know, and that is so important. And coaches out there, go to ASMI.org. That's Dr. Andrew's website. Along with USA Baseball, they developed the Pitch Smart program. You're going to see they kind of have the pitch count a little bit high. They go 5 times the age. It's kind of the research that they've done. They also go 1 pitch, 1 hour's rest. But I think what you guys are doing are great. You're being very conservative. I think you need to be. And on top of it, Norm, you're doing a great job because what you just said, you're pitching 4 or 5 kids a game. You know, it's interesting. At the big league level, we don't ask guys to throw 3 innings, then 3 innings the next day. Why should we be asking young kids to do that when you know, bodies aren't ready for it? So what you're doing by pitching 3, 4 kids a game, you're giving them the experience. You're making them part of the team. You're making them feel much better. And coaches, if you understand how to work your pitchers, you can pitch them also according to the lineups that are coming up. So if you've got a pitcher that's not as strong, there's nothing wrong with pitching them against the 7th, 8th, and 9th hitter for that inning.
Yeah.
And giving them a chance to do that. I've got a very good friend of mine, high school coach, that does that. Been very successful. Matter of fact, every statistic that he has in high school has improved in the last 4 years doing it the way you're doing it, Norm. So I think that's outstanding. Now, what issues do you have with this age group when we're talking about the 8-year-olds, whether it be in practice, especially practice organization? What are the issues there?
Practice organization. So we, once again, my second and third grade coaching staff is one of the largest, if not the largest, probably next to my T-ball team. I have 6 or 7 coaches. I've got a, wow. I've got a couple of former high school coaches who are recycled parents that 20 years ago, their kid came through the program. I gave them a call. They've got a grandson in the program coming up. I gave them a call. I said, hey, let's get together. Let's coach teams. And so our minors team, between the three main coaches, we have over 90 years of coaching experience.
That's
and
awesome.
That is on the high school, college, youth levels. And so, you know, you tell me where, I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
No. And what would you tell coaches out there if, you know, I mean, you're very fortunate, 7 coaches, you know, and most volunteers have a hard time getting one coach. What would you tell coaches or organizations what to do if they're having a hard time finding coaches?
You know, sometimes we dip into the local college here in McMinnville, Linfield College. And, you know, sometimes you got some of the football players or the baseball players or whatever staying over, you know, parents, there are some parents that, you know, maybe they can't be the head coach, but they would like to do, you know, kind of an assisting. And some of them, I don't even give them an option. You're helping. And
yeah,
so, you know,
your son or daughter's on the team, right?
Exactly. And that's what my brother-in-law, you know, with his son, my nephew, you know, he's pretty much easy. He's a given coach for me.
Oh,
and
that's
so,
awesome.
You know, and I'll tell you what, he has learned so much about baseball by doing what he's doing. So he's been in with me for a couple of years now, and he's in the T-ball deal. And, you know, we run it like our T-ball practice. We'll split it up. We'll have a hitting station, a fielding station, base running station. Next year, we'll start working more as they become third graders. We'll start working on bunting and the concept of that. Practices for us generally don't go longer than an hour, 15, hour and 30 minutes.
That's great.
Because we run things kind of like what a high school does. You go to a high school practice, you see them running the different stations. That's what we do.
That's fantastic. And that's a great way sometimes, you know, is to go to the high school coach and watch their practices, get certain
Absolutely.
Ideas. Now, some high school coaches have a lot of equipment. Well, just eliminate the equipment part because a lot of volunteers don't have the equipment, but you could utilize a lot of things that they're doing. And here's the part, coaches out there, volunteers, as I mentioned earlier, are the foundation of our sport. And you guys and gals are extremely important. And parents, if your kid's on the team, you listen, you heard what Norm said. If you have the time, we need your help to volunteer with your team. So that way you get better. You can learn. You don't have to know anything about the game. The head coach will teach you that. They'll teach you how to play
catch.
Absolutely. He'll teach you how to field. You know, they'll teach you how to do a lot of things. There'll be a lot of fun. And then maybe later on you can become a coach. And that goes back you can become a head coach later on after a few years. That goes back to the coach's development. If every league that's listening out there had a coach's development program, and that then you can go to parents and say, guess what? And this is what soccer did. And soccer came out and showed them, you know, here's the program we have for coaches. We're going to lay it out for you. Here's how you run a practice. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. And then now volunteers are going to go, well, you know what? If they've got something for me to be able to help me coach, then maybe I'll volunteer. But if I'm just going to be thrown in and I don't know anything and there's nobody there to help me, well, that's not how you're going to get volunteers.
Right. You know, the most important thing is for a parent is take stock in your kid's life. Take, you know, show interest in what they're doing. And, you know, a great way of that is being involved. You know, maybe the only thing you do for us is throw wiffle balls during a practice.
Yep.
You're important. You know, maybe the only thing you do is throw fly balls, you know, but, you know, we all need those little things to be done.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. You've got your practice. Let's talk about the games with this age group. What are some of the issues that you see during games? Now, it could be issues on the field, could be parents, anything that you think needs to improve when we're talking about the age group of 8 years old, 8 or 9 year olds?
Finding a way to help them stay in the game.
The same as T-ball, though.
Exactly. You know, so we banned about probably a quarter of the way through the season, we banned sunflower seeds because we found that they were distracting and that the kids would have their hands in a back pocket while playing third base or shortstop and paying attention to what's in their back pocket instead of the ball. Yeah. And so we banned all sunflower seeds. We told them no sunflower seeds during games.
And sunflower seeds aren't going to make you a better player.
Exactly. And so that, you know, making sure the parents, you know, get their players to practices and to the games on time. You know, it's hard because I come from the Parks and Rec setting, and I got a parent that it was a struggle this year because he didn't find it important that to teach his kids that they need to learn to be part of the team. So he would show up whenever. And so they miss over half the practices. They'd show up late for games, you know, and I try to emphasize, hey, look, you know, not only are we teaching the game of baseball, but there are so many life lessons learned in the game of baseball, you know, about punctuality, about just, you know, being a teammate, being a part of the team and being accountable for everything you do. And, you know, what are you teaching your son if you can't even get him to a ball game and you go out to a park and play on the swing set or something?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I know that a lot of coaches have parent meetings prior to the season. You try to lay all that out as best you can. You explain to them, you know, what your goals are, what you expect out of them. Now, sometimes you do have some parents on the flip side who, you know, they're divorced. They, you know, they're working, they're trying to get the kids to practice. Sometimes they're late. You know, a lot of times we recommend that the coaches, if a kid's late for practice, don't penalize the kid. Some guys do and gals do that. They just forget that it's not the kid's fault that he's late for practice. So, but yeah. You know what, as a learning experience, you know, just tell the youngster when they show up for practice, you know, let them know, okay, you know the warm-ups, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do your warm-ups, you're going to catch up and then jump into the practice after they do a warm-up. You know, in games, obviously, you try to do your best because of the fact that, you know, again, it's not the kid's fault, and I certainly understand that. Tell us, or tell our audience, you know, when you've got games, you know, everything's not running perfect. attention span's one thing, and, you know, what I've always said that the responsibility of a very good coach is first to let kids understand that the number one skill to play the game of baseball, and we ask kids a lot of questions, we'll ask them, what's number one skill? Well, the thing you're going to get is pitching, catching, hitting, fielding, this all. You're going to get all the different skills.
Well, absolutely not.
Those aren't the number one skills. The number one skill is the ability to be able to pay attention because that's extremely hard to do. Now, coaches have to understand that's a skill. So in order for it to improve, it has to become a habit. And that has to be explained to the players, but also you have to train to do that. And I think coaches need to understand that part of practice is training them how to pay attention. And by, you know, by doing certain things, by keeping them busy, by keeping the game going. I'll give you a great example. What's the biggest question I get all the time is I can't get my kids to hustle. Well, you haven't trained them to hustle. You've told them to hustle, but you haven't trained them to do that. There's a big difference between telling something yet and actually getting them to do it. So that's why I asked you, you know, what are some of the issues? Paying attention is one, but what's another issue that happens during the games that maybe we can help our coaches with out there?
You know, lack of hustle. You brought it up. Lack of hustle. You know, lack of, you know, lack of moving with purpose.
Yeah.
And whether you're playing the field or you're, you know, running out a ground ball, you know, coming in from the dugout, going out to your position, have a sense of, have a sense of purpose. I mean, you got to go.
Yeah. And, you know, let me mention, if, you know, coaches out there, if you want kids to hustle, then from the first day of practice is when you've got to get kids to hustle. And what do I mean by that? When you get them together and you talk to them for about a minute, now you're going to set up these stations. Well, as soon as you say go and they jog to where they're going, stop them. Bring them back. Ask them the question. Don't penalize them. Ask them the question, is that the fastest way you can get there? Also ask them, what does hustle do? Well, they're going to answer certain questions. Hustle is looks good. Okay, that's great. You do. You're right. You look good when you hustle. What else does hustle do? Well, hustle, when you're running everywhere, you're becoming faster. You're training your muscles to be fast. So now you're also developing speed. So the more they understand why hustle is so important, not just by telling them, but by actually making them do it. Because remember, it has to become a habit, coaches. So when they don't hustle, bring them back. You know, now you say, okay, now you might challenge them. Say, okay, now we're going to get to the station, and I want to see how fast you can do it. Ready? Go. And as soon as you say go, they got to sprint to it. If they sprint and you're happy with it, then you're good. If not, bring them back again. Sometimes that first practice is the toughest practice, because what you're doing is laying down the groundworks or the ground level to get them to hustle. The other thing is, you hear a lot of times, and I want to welcome Paul and Julio to the podcast, Baseball Outside the Box. This is a Monday night edition of Youth Baseball. We are talking to Norm Ordaz from Oregon, and we were just talking about hustle. You know, one of the things, and I get it all the time, and it's been tough for me sometimes with players, you know, during the game, sometimes they don't hustle to their position. Well, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put a stopwatch, and we'll ask them, you got 12 seconds to come in. Now, if they're not hustling, I pull them to the side, and I ask them, and I just let them know. And sometimes you can do this, sometimes you can't, because there's no reentry in games, reentry rules a lot of times, which I think there should be. Right. You might ask them, you know, it looks like, you know, I tell them, it looks like you're a little tired. I'll tell you what, why don't you relax a little bit, catch your breath, you know, and then when you're ready to hustle and sprint everywhere, let me know and I'll put you back in the game. You know, sometimes you need to play that little game with them to let them understand that, you know, hustle is not acceptable if you're not hustling. So have a seat. It's not a penalty. It must be because you're tired. So there are ways to get kids to hustle. There are ways to get them to hustle in practice and in also in games. So I thought you brought up a great point there. What other areas are we talking about during games with this age group that there's some struggle with?
You know, playing catching the ball. You know, I think not only here, but I think it's nationwide, probably worried, you know, and worldwide. And I noticed, you know, it must have been about a month ago, I was reading an article about somebody noticed that, you know, youth were having problems just simply catching and throwing the ball. You know, there were times to where our catcher, for the life of our catchers, you know, he couldn't throw it back to first base. He would overthrow him. Pitcher would miss it. Pitcher would drop it. Roll out to shortstop. Shortstop would overthrow. You know, just simply plain catch.
So explain to our coaches out there, a lot of volunteers listening, a lot of moms and dads, what are some of the things you might do that in your practices or in prior to games that helps kids become better throwers and catchers in the game?
Once again, you know, I highly emphasize play catch with your kid. Play catch with your son or daughter.
Yeah.
You know, go home. I mean, not only are they going to get better at playing catch and throwing the ball, but coach, man, those are lifelong memories. I mean, you know, my dad passed away a little over 2 years ago, and I still remember playing catch with my dad as a child. Mm-hmm. And how special of a moment that was.
Absolutely.
Play catch with your child.
Yeah, you know, and coaches, you know, that's a great point, because you're you may not be there. You never know. In life nowadays, things happen fast. You know, as a coach, also make sure that, you know what, if you're going to lay out your practice, you spend a great deal of time in your practice playing catch.
Absolutely.
You know, setting up different situations to throw and catch. Because the more you do it, the better. But then the other part is you need to put the onus on the players sometimes and the parents. And you let, as you said, play catch with them. But also put the onus on the player. Ask the players, if you're not satisfied on how you're playing catch because you're missing the ball a lot, what are you going to do about it?
You know, catch and then, the ball.
Well, one, you're going to catch it. But two, what are you going to do to get better? Because nobody likes to look bad in a game and miss a baseball.
Right.
So if they're missing 3-4 baseballs a game, they're not going to enjoy that. So you got to ask them, well, what are you going to do about it? A lot of times what they do is they wait for the coach to help them only. Well, and then maybe the parents are not playing catch with them. Well, how about going to the park and throwing the ball against the wall and playing catch with the wall, or finding a way to throw it against, you know, a garage fielding ground balls that way. Whatever you have to do to become better at playing catch, what are you doing about it? Because I think sometimes we all, you know, kids only wait for practices to get better. And unfortunately, that's not, you know, you don't practice every day. Their kids just right. aren't going to get better by practicing once a week.
We usually spend, you know, so when we come into a practice, we'll have them warm up their arms a little bit, and then we'll do our stretching, and then we'll always come back to partnering up and throwing the balls at different levels. So, you know, we'll do the no glove, take a knee, no glove, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 feet away from each other, just gently toss it, work on catching it, you know, work on bringing the arm back and throwing the ball. Then we'll get the glove on and, you know, stand them up and back them up. One thing I'm really looking into for this next year is the, you know, long toss. And how is long toss going to benefit, you know, next year, you know, my third graders. And so I'm checking into that and seeing, you know, how long toss can help us out. You know, we're looking at purchasing some bands to help them strengthen up the arms as well.
Yeah, one area you might look at, obviously, is Jaeger Sports, Alan yep. Jaeger here in California. Great guy, great program.
Great guy.
And for young kids, make sure, young coaches and coaches out there, you know, you're going to start your kids off playing catch short. You're going to move them back. You want to move them back eventually, you know, to at least to where they throw during a game and then further. You know, right. And sometimes they're going to bounce the ball in. That's fine. They're working on fielding also. What you also need is – to make sure that they're playing catch fast, so that way they're able to secure the ball quick, where they do it more game situation-wise. So sometimes you might start them in a fielding position to throw the ball. Sometimes you start them in a backhand position. Sometimes you start them, you know, you let them throw the ball up in the air, catch it, and throw it. So there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, work to get them to execute playing catch at more of a game level, because if they're not training at game level at times and game speed, you know, eventually they're going to have trouble in the game. So that's why it's something we want to work on.
And I also want to add that, you know, before anybody goes out and buys bands or anything, make sure you do your homework and checking it out and what's age appropriate for the age that you're coaching at. Just don't go out and give a 7-year-old a band that, you know, where he could hurt his arm. Because in the end, you're responsible for that arm.
Exactly. And that's why you want, you know, more than anything, I mean, they need to play catch. That's one thing they don't do enough of.
Absolutely. Right, Norm,
we are coming to the end of the show. And one thing I want to do is I want everybody to know you're on Baseball Outside the Box. We are baseballoutsidethebox.com. This is the Monday edition of our interviews with volunteer baseball coaches. We're asking volunteer baseball coaches. This is the grassroots level of the game. This is not the level where it's not high school, college, or professionals. These are where you have your T-balls, your 7-year-olds, your 8-year-olds, your 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, mostly in-house leagues, recreation leagues. It's the hardest part, even though it's the most important. One of the reasons it's the hardest because they lack the time, they lack equipment, they lack fields. Not everybody has what Norm has, 7 coaches.
Lack of coaching.
Lack of coaching. So we're trying to give as much advice to our volunteer baseball coaches as we can to help them. So you can do a couple things. Go to my website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Don't forget our Twitter @baseballout. We got a lot of videos and information. Our email is info@baseballoutsidethebox.com, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. Norm, we're going to end it here. And what I wanted to do is just one last minute thing. Anything you want to tell our volunteer baseball coaches out there? Any last minute advice, and then we will end the show and we'll get ready for next Monday show.
Have fun with it. You know, the biggest thing is we're losing kids because baseball is boring. You know, and I know all the old adage, you know, well, baseball's a smart man's game, which is true, but we need to make it fun for the kids. You know, baseball is the greatest game. And, you know, it is, you know, and I look at myself as a baseball ambassador and, you know, hosting another show And, you know, we got to make it fun for the kids.
Absolutely. All right. That is Norm Ordaz from Oregon, 20-plus years, a volunteer baseball coach, 5 to 18-year-olds he's been coaching, also field supervisor for McMinnville Parks and Recreations in Oregon. Norm, great time. I really enjoyed it. Love to have you on the show. Thank you very much for participating on Baseball Outside the Box, Volunteer Baseball Coaches Show.
Hey, and let's get you back on Clubhouse Chatter sometime soon.
All right, sounds good. And remember, this is baseballoutsidethebox.com. We're on every Monday. We will be live on Facebook along with the podcast. Remember, baseballoutsidethebox.com. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.